Today's daf is Chaf Hei. And we'll start on daf Chaf Hei Amid Aleph on the second line. Karpaf Yosef Mibes Asayim. If you have an open area, Shalohu Kaf Ledira, the mechitzos that surround this area, which would make this area Rishus HaYochid on a Torah level, were not set up for Dira. In other words, you don't eat there or sleep there. And therefore, the Rabbanon made a gzera, and they said, you're not allowed to carry more than 4 amos inside this karpaf, because it's larger than a beis asayim, it's lo hukaf ledira, ubala mato. And now, he wants to diminish the area and make it less than beis asayim, so that he'd be allowed to carry inside. Because we said that if the area is less than a beis asayim, even if it's lo hukaf ledira, you're allowed to carry there. Miato be'ilonos. Now, when he plants trees in this karpaf, these trees really do not in any way limit the area of the karpas, reduce the area, lo avimut, because that's what you do, you plant trees, that becomes an integral part of the karpaf itself. It's not something that sticks out and takes and diminishes the space of the karpaf. Bonabo amud gavoa sora v'rochav arba. If he builds a pillar, some sort of a pillar that's 10 tefachim high and has the minimum width of 4 by 4 tefachim, and that's called a makom chashuv b'fnei atzmo, it's considered significant unto itself, havi miut, that would reduce the size of the beis asayim. Rashi interprets that he put up this amud somewhere in the middle of the karpaf, not near the walls that surround the karpaf. We're going to see later on what's the law in a case where he sets up this amud close to the walls of the karpaf. Now, we have another case where instead of the amud, which is 10 tefachim high, instead of it being 4 tefachim wide, Pachos Mishlosha. It's less than 3 tefachim, and that's like a pole. If you put a pole and you erect it in the middle of an area, it doesn't in any way impact on the pole. We once discussed this in terms of a mavui. If you have an opening of a mavui that's too wide, and you just put up a pole in the middle, that doesn't diminish the width of the too wide Pesach. Here also, the pole that he puts down, which is less than 3 tefachim, has no cheshivas to it. It's not considered something that would diminish the area and reduce the area of the karpaf to less than beis asayim. Lo avimut. But now we're going to get to the gray area. Mishlosha v'yad arba. Until now we had less than 3 tefachim in width. We had more than 4 tefachim in width. Now we have from 3 to 4 tefachim. That's the gray area. Rabba Omar havi miut. And Rav Omar lo havi miut. And the Gemara is going to explain. Rabba Omar havi miut. Ha-nofik le mitoras lovud. Whenever we want to set up a shear, 3 tefachim is already considered a makom chashuv. And I'll prove it to you, says Rabba. It sets up an area which is no longer lovud. Lovud means two things are considered near each other. Sosum. Once there's a stretch, a distance of 3 tefachim, and there's no lovud, that gives something a chashivas unto itself, and therefore be mamait. Rav amar lo avi miyud, kevin de lo avi mokom arba, lo chashiv. Rava points out that in general, when we talk about a mokom chashuv, and I'll give an example in just a minute, then it has to have a minimum of 4 tefachim in width. For example, in the halach of Meleches Hotzah on Shabbos, you have to place the object down on a makom chashuv, and the minimum width of a makom chashuv is 4 tefachim. Anything less than 4 tefachim is a makom patur. So as a general rule, the minimum amount to set up some sort of a significant item or machitza has to be at least 4 tefachim wide. Now we're going to talk about a case, again, where he wants to be matir the karpaf by setting up something that would minimize the area of the karpach and make it less than a beis hasayim. But in this case, he sets up his amud near the kosel. Now, how far of a distance is there between the amud that he sets up and the kosel? Hirchik min kosel arba. If he sets up an amud that should serve as kind of a new machitza to replace the old machitza, and the distance between this new machitza that he is erecting and the kosel that was there from the beginning is more than four tefachim, in such a way that you can no longer apply the principle of lavud, the asa machitza. Now he puts up this machitza for the purpose of dira. He wants to use the karpa for sleeping, for eating, etc. Hoil. That, beyond a question, is meaningful. Because since this machitza is four tefachim away from the old machitza, which is again always a shear of makom chashuv, therefore this machitza becomes a machitza unto itself. It's not in any way to be defined or classified as an addition to the old machitza. And this new machitza, insofar as it's not an addition to the old machitza, it's separated from the old machitza, is now a new hekev l'shem dira. And it changes the entire entity of the karpaf. It's no longer a karpaf shelo hukaf l'dira, now it's a karpaf shehukaf l'dira. But what happens in a case, this is again going to be a very clear case, which is not subject to any question or debate, if the distance between this new machitza and the kosel is pachos mishlosha, it's less than three tefachim. So if you measure the distance between the outer machitza and now this inner machitza that you're creating, you'll find that the distance is less than three tefachim. Lo ho'il. Undeniably, that is invalid. Why? Because we're going to apply the principle of lavud, and we're going to see that this new kosel is not really a new kosel at all, but rather it is an extension of the old kosel. Therefore, cannot serve as a new hekef mechitza l'shem dira. But here's going to be the machlokes. Here is the bein hashmoshos, the unclear case, and that's mishlosha v'yad arba. It is three tefachim away from the kosel, therefore we can no longer apply lavud. But on the other hand, it is just three tefachim, less than four tefachim. Rabba Omar Hoil, Rav Omar Eino Moil. Rabba says that he could be mata the karpav, and Rava says no. Rabba Omar Hoil, da nafik le mitoras lavud. Once you've set up this new machitza at a distance of three tefachim and more that separates it from the kosel, and you can't view it as sosum, as if it's attached to the old kosel, because it's got the distance of three tefachim plus, is therefore you set up a new machitza that's called a makom chashuv that separates it from the old machitza, and therefore it's now hukaf l'dira, and you could be metaltel in the karpaf. Rav Amar, Eino moil, kevon de lo havi makom arba lo chashiv. If you want to set up a new kosel, and this new kosel is an entity unto itself, it's not batel, it doesn't lose its identity to the kosel that pre-existed, which is lo hukaf l'dira, then you have to set up a separation between the old kosel and the new one in a davar chashuv. And a davar chashuv would require four tefachim. So that's called lo hoil. Now Rav Shimi has a different transmission of this machlokas, this double machlokas that we had between Rabba and Rav. Masni Lekula, in his records, the way he had Rabba and Rava, they weren't arguing about a pillar which is three tefachim wide, less than 4 tefachim, certainly everybody would agree lekula that that is mamayit, and you'd be matir tiltul. They didn't argue in a case where the kosel that he's setting up now as a second mechitza is 3 tefachim distant from the old kosel. That for sure is a mechitza that would be matir tiltul. But rather, machlokes is in the case of pachos mishlosha. If, let's say, he sets up an amud, and the width of this amud, of this pillar, is less than 3 tefachim, or, for example, he sets up a machitza that's less than 3 tefachim away from the kosel. Rabba says that even if it's less than 3 tefachim, nevertheless, the amud is memayit, and the machitza is materes. And Rava says, no, if it's less than 3 tefachim, and we apply the principle of lavud, then the amud is not significant enough to be mamayit, and the machitza could not be matir tilt. Now the Gemara wants to know what happens in a case where you add cement to the kosel. And the question is whether we could view this cement as an entity unto itself, to the extent in which it limits and reduces the airspace of the karpaf to less than beis asayim. So you started with a karpaf that's exactly a beis asayim and a mashu, a little bit more, and now you add cement to the sides of the walls. Tachbo tit, and the Gemara makes the following distinction. Yachal lama bifnei atzma, he puts enough cement on the wall such that it would stand on its own, and even if you would take away the kosel and do some sort of surgical operation, you would still be left with the cemented wall that he added to the wall. So that means that the cement serves as a wall unto itself, and therefore it reduces the area of the karpaf to make it less than a beis asayim, and it's mata b'tiltul, havimut. But eina yochol lamed bifnei atzmo, what's the deal if he cements by adding something to the kosel, but that cement would not stand on its own? If we remove the kosel, then the cement itself would fall apart, which means that cement is really just an attachment or a chizuk to strengthen the kosel, but it's not a kosel unto itself. And maybe therefore it doesn't have the power to be mamayit. Rabba Omar havi miut. Rabba, in a very consistent way, is lenient, and he says that you can be mamayit the size of the beis asayim of the karpaf, and therefore be matit tiltul. And Rav Amar lo havi miut. Rava says that if this area that is occupied by the tit, which you added and it wouldn't stand on its own, that's nothing. Rabba Omar havi miut hashta mias koi. Even though it's true that if you would remove the kosel, the tit would fall apart, but nevertheless now it's standing. And now if you measure the airspace inside the karpaf, it does not have more than a beis asayim, but therefore you're allowed to be metalto. Rav Omar lo havi miut. Came on. Rava says, I don't have to look at the situation as it is today. I want to know in a conceptual way whether I can classify this tit as a separate kosel, and I need a barometer to test that out. If I know that this additional cement would only stand as an attachment to the kosel, it cannot stand on its own, then lav klumu, it's nothing, and it cannot be memait the size of the karpa. Here's another discussion, again, about a karpaf that's more than a beis asayim, lo hukaf ledira, and it has regular mechitzos that surround it on three sides. On the fourth side, as a unique kind of mechitza, instead of a wall, he has what's called a tail. And when we were learning Masechta Shabbos, you may remember that if you have a pile, some sort of a heap, above ground that is 10 tefachim high, it could serve as a mechitza. So this fourth wall that surrounds the karpaf is a tel. And once again, he wants to now be memayit the space of the Karpov. Hirchik minatel arba, the asa mechitza. If he distances himself from the tail four tefachim and he sets up a mechitza for the purpose of dira, so now you have three walls, and on the fourth side you set up a wall that is four tefachim away from what's on the other side of that wall, which is this tail that closes up the fourth area. Hoil, in that case, he has successfully reduced the size of the karpaf. It is no longer more than a base sasayim, and therefore he's allowed to carry there. And the reason for this is because since he set up a separation between this new wall that he's putting up and the old wall, in this case is the tail, then the new wall is an entity unto itself, and that becomes Hekef Lidira. Pachos Mishlosha. Here we're going to have a machlokas. Let's say the distance between this new kosel that he sets up and the tail is less than three tefachim. Al Sfas HaTel, or alternatively, he sets up the mechitza on top of the tail. Here we have a machlokas between Rav Chisda and Rav Hamnuna. Chad Amar, according to one opinion, Hoil. This new mechitza is meaningful. And although we've said in the past that a mechitza that's within three tefachim, the old mechitza is nothing, it doesn't add a new mechitza. But here, since it's less than three tefachim from a tail, and now in a sense he's improving the closure on the fourth side by setting up a bona fide regular mechitza to replace the tail, then according to one opinion, it is meaningful. And the kosel now that was set up at that fourth side, that is less than three tefachim away from the tail that's beyond it, is a hekef ledira, and it therefore is matir tiltul in the karpaf. The chadomer, but one, the second opinion says lo hoil. Because basically what you're doing is, you're really not setting up a new mechitza. You've basically added a mechitza to already pre-existing mechitza. Had you removed the old mechitza, that would be fine. No one would question that. But here he left the old mechitza, which is the tail, and he doesn't really add anything significant because any other mechitza is just what we call a mechitza al-gabi mechitza. This time I'm going to try to prove the Rav Chisda, he's the one, the Omar Hoil, he would validate that mechitza, the Itmar Ha'osa mechitza al-gabi mechitza, Omar Rav Chisda b'Shabbos Hoil. So if you set up a mechitza on top of a mechitza, the original mechitza was lo hukaf ledira. Now he makes a mechitza that's hukaf ledira, and he places it on top of the old mechitza. Since it's hukaf ledira, that second mechitza now makes the karpaf area into hukaf ledira, and therefore it's mutal betiltal. However, what would be the status of this mechitza as far as kinyonim are concerned? One of the various kinyonim to acquire ownership on real estate is what's called a kinyon chazaka. And a kinyon chazaka means that I set up a fence around an area that I want to acquire ownership. And in this case, we're talking about nichsei hager. Any Jew that dies always has yorshim. If he doesn't have a son, he has a father. If he doesn't have a father, he has an uncle, and it goes all the way back to Reuven ben Yaakov. So there's always going to be an heir to inherit a Jew that dies. But in the case of a ger, we have a principle called ger shenis gair kakotin shenolad dami. With his conversion, he cuts off any of his biological relations. If he gets married and has a son, that son will inherit him. But let's say the ger dies without any offspring. And now, nichsei ager hefker. Anyone, kol hakodem zoch, whoever gets there first, can make a kinyan. Now, what happened was that during his lifetime, the ger had a piece of real estate that was surrounded by mechitzas. After his death, somebody comes along and builds a mechitza on top of the pre-existing mechitza. Lo kana. Here Rav Chisda admits that the mechitza al gabi mechitza is not a ma'isa kinyan. That's not the normal way in which you make a kinyan and surround an area and protect it with a fence when it already has a fence. Rav Sheshes Omar af b'Shabbos nami lo hoil. Rav Sheshes says that even on Shabbos this would not be a new mechitza to replace the old mechitza. And we cannot say that the second mechitza that he adds on top of the first is now a hekef ludira to be matit tiltul in the karpath. Tistayim, now we see clearly that the one between Rav Chisda and Rav Hamnuna that holds that hoil, that it is meaningful to set up a mechitza on top of a mechitza for purposes of setting up a hekef ludira to be matit tiltul in a karpath, that is none other than Rav Chisda. Omar Rav Chisda, modeli Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes would admit to me that if you have a karpath, under certain situations, you can be matir the tiltul in the karpath by setting up a mechitza on top of a pre-existing mechitza. What's the case in which even Rav Sheshes would agree that, at least as far as Shabbos is concerned, you can add a mechitza to a pre-existing one, and the second mechitza, since it was hukaf l'shem dira, would be matir tiltul in the karpav? The case is shem osa mechitza al hatel. If he climbs up to this tail, you know, this heap, this hill, and he sets up a mechitza on top of the tail, even Rav Sheshes would agree in this case that he now sets up a valid mechitza l'shem dira that would be matir tiltul in the karpath. The Gemara explains why. My taima. Why would Rav Sheshes concede in the case where he sets up a mechitza on top of the tail? Hoil ubi arba mechitzas helyonos hu dar. In other words, the tail only reaches the height of 10 tefachim. That's pretty low down. And now he sets up a mechitza of another 10 tefachim, which he situates on top of the tail. He's got now two protective mechitzos. He's got the bottom mechitza, which is the tail, and that's called avir hatachtonos. And he's got the airspace above 10 tefachim that is surrounded by his new mechitza, and that's called avir mechitza elyona. And the Gemara points out that when a person enjoys the benefit of a mechitza, primarily he enjoys the benefit of the top part of the mechitza, especially in this case where the bottom part of the mechitza is relatively low. So he's now going to be living within the avir, the airspace of the mechitza elyona, the top mechitza, and that validates the mechitza. Everybody recognizes it as a valid mechitza. And since he put it up, he erected it for the purpose of Dira, then he now is Matir Tiltul in the Karpath. And even Rav Sheshes would agree in this particular scenario. Boy, Rabba Bar Chana had the following suffix. Let's say he's got loose ground. That's called afar tichuach. And there's a mechitza on this loose ground. And it was a hekev shelo l'shem dira. So he's got a karpath which is osa b'tiltul. And now he structures another mechitza on top of this mechitza. Normally, a mechitza on top of mechitza would not be valid as a hekif mechitza v'mata tiltul the karpath. But in this case, the bottom mechitza, the pre-existing mechitza, is a very weak and insecure mechitza. In fact, nivlu mechitzos hataltonos. With the passage of time, the lower mechitza, the old mechitza, now sinks down into the ground, as we said before, because the ground is very soft. And ha'elyonos kayomos, but the top part of the mechitza, which he added l'shem dira, is still alive and well. Mahu. What is the status of this mechitza. So the Gemara asks Lamai, let's try to understand and analyze Rava's question. E l'nichsei ager, if he now sets up the second mechitza. Well, I shouldn't say now, that's a bad word to use. If, as a result of the fact that in the past he had set up the second mechitza on nichsei ager, so it means that there was one mechitza on soft ground at the time of the demise of the ger. Subsequently, somebody, we'll call him Reuven, comes along and he wants to make a kinyan chazaka on this nichsei ager, which is hefker. So he sets up a second mechitza on top of the mechitza that was alive and well at the time of the death of the ger. But now, with the passage of time, the mechitza, the original mechitza that was set up at the time of the life of the ger, now sunk below the surface of the ground. Can we now say that the Reuven, because now his mechitza is the only mechitza that exists, therefore through that mechitza he has a valid kinyan chazaka? But Rabosai, the answer is pashut, and the Gemara is going to prove this and illustrate this with a story, but even without the story, just with intuitive logic, this would not be a kinyan chazaka. Kinyan chazaka requires a maisa chazaka. At the time that he, Reuven, put up the old mechitza of the ger existed. So the second mechitza is not a mechitza. It's a mechitza al gabi mechitza, which is not valid. Aye, with the passage of time, the first mechitza sunk below the ground, and now the second mechitza is the only mechitza around in town. But that doesn't matter. Where's your maisa chazaka? So that could not possibly be the suffix of Rabba, because Hainu, that's identical to the statement of the Yirmiya Bira, the Omar Yirmiya Bira, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Haiman de Shada Lifta Apila de Ara de Ger. A person takes a lefes, which is a turnip, and he finds a hole in the karka of the ger, and he plants it inside the karka. And now, that's what Reuven did. And now, Asa Yisrael Achridi, now Shimon comes along, Rafak Beipurta, and he digs into the ground. Basra Koni, Kamalo Koni, Shimon made the kinyan, a valid kinyan, he acquired ownership, and Reuven's action is not valid. Why? My timer. The inner the shada lo kashevach. At the time that Reuven, the first guy, planted this turnip in the ground, the karka was not improved. To make a chazaka, you have to improve the karka. Here, there's no improvement. It could be later on, when the turnip will grow. Let's say it's worth a shekel, so you enhance the value of the karka by a shekel. But at the time of the Maisa, when the first fellow, we'll call him Reuven, planted this turnip in the ground, it didn't add anything to the value of the ground. It hadn't taken yet. It didn't root yet. What happens with the passage of time is irrelevant. You need a Maisa Chazok in its moment. The Kika Shavcha Mimela Kama Shavcha. Even though with the passage of time the turnip takes and it grows, nevertheless that's a Mimela Shevach. That's an improvement in the karka that happens automatically with the passage of time without a maisa. And therefore, in your case, where you had mechitzos elyonos, and right now they didn't sink below the ground, you had mechitzos tachtonos, and now you added mechitzos elyonos, even though with the passage of time, you'll only be left with the mechitzos elyonos, the mechitzos tachtonos was submerged below the ground, but nevertheless, there's no action of setting up a mechitza. The Elan, therefore, we're going to have to assume that Rabba Bar Bar Chana, he's not asking a question about a kinyan chazaka. You cannot have a kinyan chazaka that comes into being memela, but rather le'inyan Shabbos. This was the suffix of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Le'inyan Shabbos. We're now holding that ein mechitza al gabi mechitza. And what's the issue here? The issue is nechbat hakosel b'emtza Shabbos. Rashi says that in the middle of Shabbos, the original kosel, which was a hekev shelo l'shem dira, was absorbed into the ground. And now, Rabbi Baruch Hanna wonders, is it possible that what you have is only one set of mechitzos? The original mechitza of Lo Hukaf L'dira is now gone. Havi mechitza anase b'Shabbos. So the Gemara assumes, and it's a little bit different of what we assumed until now, that no question about it, this mechitza, even though in its moment it was not valid, but now it becomes valid, it's the only mechitza available for this Karpaf. It is a valid mechitza, but the only problem is, on what day of the week did it become a mechitza? It became a mechitza on Shabbos. And now, Rabbi Baruch says the following Tanya, we have a braisa called Mechitza Shanasa B'Shabbos Bein B'Shogig U'Bein B'Meizid Shema Mechitza. So the Gemara is questioning, why should Rabbah have any inhibitions about validating this mechitza, even if it became a mechitza on Shabbos? We have a braisa that says a mechitza that was created on Shabbos is a valid mechitza, whether or not it was created without kavana, he didn't do it deliberately, whether he did it deliberately. So then, why would Rabbah vacillate about this question? It's obvious. So the Gemara answers, Lav Itmar Allah, because of a statement of Rav Nachman qualifying that braisa, Lo Shana, when does that braisa apply? That a mechitza that emerged, that was created on Shabbos, is a valid mechitza, Ella Lizrok. That's only L'chumra. If, let's say, you're standing in Rosh Hashanah, you throw an object into this area that is mukaf with the mechitza was created on Shabbos, you're chaya for that. Aval etaltel asur. However, Rav Nachman says that a mechitza that was created on Shabbos, which on a Doraisa level biblically creates a Rosh Hashanah, but nevertheless, that's only l'chumra. And if a person throws from Rosh Hashanah inside this mechitza area, he'll be chayev. But l'kula, to say that a mechitza that was created on Shabbos should be a mechitza lahakel, that we're not going to say. And therefore, Rabbah has a valid suffix over here. What happens in a case of a karpaf where the mechitza that was l'shem dira was created on Shabbos, and now is saying that a mechitza that was created on Shabbos, that emerged on Shabbos, is valid, but only l'chumra, but not l'kula. Here we want to use this mechitza l'kula to be matir tiltul in the karpaf. So Gemara rejects this. Ki itmar de Rav Nachman amazed itmar. When Rav Nachman said that we're not going to be mekil and rely on this mechitza that was created on Shabbos for a leniency, that was because he deliberately created the mechitza on Shabbos, with full knowledge. And therefore, we're going to impose a penalty, and we're going to say, Chas v'shalom, we're not going to allow him to benefit at all from this mechitza. But that's not true for the case of Rabbah. Rabbah's talking about a case where the mechitza was created on Shabbos because the original mechitza sank below the ground. There was no mazid over here. He didn't deliberately violate Shabbos by creating a mechitza. And therefore, the Gemara concludes that it would seem to be obvious that the answer to Rabbah would be that, yes, this mechitza would be valid even though it was created on Shabbos, because in the worst-case scenario, if we accept Rav Nachman, that's only in a case of mezid, but not in a case where there's no penalty. No one deserves any penalty. The Gemara tells a story about Nichsei Ager, Hahi Issa, a woman who wanted to acquire ownership and make a kinyan on Nichsei Ager, the Avda Mechitza Gabi Mechitza B'Nichsei Ager. She built up the Mechitza that surrounded on top of the pre-existing Mechitza that surrounded the Nichsei Ager. And Osahu Gavra, now some man comes along he realizes that her mechitza is not valid, and it's not a ma'aseh kinyan chazaka, is rafik beit purta. So he starts digging in the karka. Again, the digging in the karka is beneficial to the karka. He plants there, etc. Also, lekame derav Nachman. So this individual comes in front of Rav Nachman, and okma biyade. Rav Nachman establishes that his mechitza, that the original mechitza that was set up by the Isha is not a valid kinyan because it was mechitza al gabi mechitza, and therefore this person who subsequently improved the karka, he made a kinyan on the hefker. Asis ha'ihi, she came along, the kotzavcha kamei, and she starts screaming in front of Rav Nachman. Omalabar of Nachman says, my evidlach, I'd like to help you out, but I can't do so. Delo michza kidamachsi inchi. You did not implement a chazaka that would be a valid kinyan, and therefore, when Reuven came along, his chafar ba purta was a valid kinyan, and I cannot take the karka away from him. He was the first to acquire ownership on the karka. Now the Gemara wants to know what happens if you have a karpaf that's greater than beis asayim, but part of it is roofed. Karpaf beis shalosh. So instead of two sasayim, he has three sasayim. But v'kerabo beis sa, but one of the three sayim is kerabo. Kera is miloshen tikra, which means a roof. Rabba Omar, in such a case, avir keruyo miyasro, which means that the airspace that's underneath the roof does nothing more than expand the size of the karpaf, and therefore the karpaf remains a karpaf that's greater than beis asayim, and you cannot carry there. V'rabzera Omar, Rabzera disagrees with Rabba, and he says, Ein aver keruye miyasro, that we see and define that part of the karpaf that's covered by a roof as a separate entity. And therefore, what you're left with is exactly a beis asayim that's unroofed, and that's not a karpaf, and therefore you're allowed to carry there. Now, Rabbi Zera is based on a principle that we're going to discuss now called Pi Tikra Yore Visosem. That whenever you have a ceiling, we always imagine that the ends of the ceiling on all sides go down. That's an imaginary mechitza. And if that be the case, then the area, the airspace, that's Makura, that's underneath the roof, is really surrounded by its own mechitzos. It becomes a separate entity. And instead of expanding the size of the karpaf, it diminishes the size of the karpaf. In this case, you're left with a karpaf that's only a beis asayim, and if it's muta betiltul. So now the Gemara analyzes the machlokus between Rabba Lechumra and Rab Zera Lekula. Lema, shall we say, that Rabba Rab Zera, they're arguing about the old machlokus, whether pi tikra yored v'sosein, beplugta de Rav u'Shmuel ka miflugi. The Itmar, we learned in a base medrash, Achsadra is something that reminds me personally of a chuppah. It means you have four poles and on top you put a ceiling. And this Achsadra is located Bibika, in a place where there are many fields. And the Achsadra itself has no real mechitzos, in the sense there's nothing that you see as a mechitzos. It's just four poles holding up a ceiling. And Rav Amar Mutar L'Taltil B'Kule, that we consider this Achsadra as if it were a Rishus HaYochid, you're allowed to carry there, again, even though it's in a Carmelis, because a Bika is a Carmelis. Shmuel Amar Ein Metaltilin, you cannot carry in the area that is roofed, this Achsadra, El B'Arba Amos, because it has the same din of a Carmelis. A Carmelis is like a Rishus HaRabim, and you're only allowed to carry up to, but not beyond, four amos. And the Gemara now analyzes this machlokus. Rav Amar Mutar L'Taltil B'Kule D'Amrinan Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosein. You and I don't see with the naked eye any mechitzos, but in fact, this achsadra, says Rav, is surrounded by four mechitzos. It's a full-fledged Rishus HaYochid, because Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosein. Shmuel Amar Ein Metaltil in Erel B'Abra Amos, the law Amrinan Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosein. And now the Gemara analyzes that the machlokas between Rabba and Rab Zera, where Rabba is machbir and Rab Zera is mekel, is identical with the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And therefore, Rabba holds like Shmuel that we don't apply the principle of pi tikra yodiv v'sosem, whereas Rabbi Zera holds like Rav that pi tikra yodiv v'sosem. And that's why we have an area in this greater Karpath that is no longer part of the Karpath, because if we see this area underneath the roof as set aside with its own mechitzos via the principle of pi tikra yorid v'sosem, then it diminishes the size of the Karpath. We no longer have a Karpath of more than a base asayim. And now we turn to Daf Chafei Amid Beis. The Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says that the machlokas between Rabba and Rab Zera should not be identified at all with the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And even Rabba, who is machmir, is, and he says that we're not going to apply the principle of pitikriyot v'sosim, that's because of a special, exceptional case. In other words, what the Gemara is insisting now is that Rabba in general embraces the principle of pitikra yorid v'sosem, and therefore I avido ki achsadra, which would mean that it has a straight, flat roof on top, hachinami, Rabba would also agree and accept the principle of Rab, pitikra yorid v'sosem. And in that case, you would be allowed to carry in the Karpath because you have four mechitzas in the roofed area. But hacha, the case is, b'may askinon, where did Rabba become a machmir? That's only the avda ki urzila, that the ceiling was on an incline. That's called in Hebrew mishupa, b'shipua. Shipua means an incline. So that it's not a flat roof, but rather a roof that goes from here up like on a, 45 degree angle. And Rabba holds it in such a case, we don't apply the principle of pitikra yorid v'sosem. Pitikra yorid v'sosem allows me to set up machitzas that are equal on all sides. But here you have one side that's higher than the other side, and therefore you don't apply the principle of pitikra. So the maskana of the Gemara is that Rabba, in the Karpath situation, accepts the shita of Rav. Rav was discussing the case of Achsadra, and he said that you're allowed to carry under the Achsadra because pi tikra. But Rav's case, although he accepts, but Rav's case of the Karpath, even though he accepts Rav, is a case of Ur Zila, where it's on an incline. Om Rav Zera, Umodina, I will agree, even though I hold in general that a Karpath, that part of the Karpath is roofed, and we're not going to calculate the roofed part of the karka together with the balance of the Karpath, which is below the ceiling, but there is one case where I will concede, and that's the Karpath shenifratz b'melo l'chatzer sha'asa. What happens, and here the diagram is very, very helpful, if you have a Karpath, and at the end of the Karpath you have a chatzer. So again, depending on which side you start with, let's start with the side of the house. So you have a house, and in front of the house you have a chatzer. And the chatzer spills into a karpath. That's a very common case. And nifratz b'meloo, it means that the karpath completely opens up into the chatzer. And Rabbi Zera says, in such a case, you cannot allow tiltum. My time of why? Hoil the avir chatzer miyatro. Basically, we view the chatzer as an extension of the karpath. So let's say, for example, the karpath had less than or equal to a base asayim, but now we sort of tip it over the boundary and we make it larger than a base asayim because it spills into a chatzer. And we're going to view the chatzer as the extension of the karpath. Maskif Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks a logical question, an objection to Rav Zera. V'chi avir hamutalo osro. What does that mean? The question of Rav Yosef is that even if I view the Karpaf as Nifratz Lechatzer, why would that generate an Iser Tiltil in the Karpaf? And I'm going to explain this based on Rashi. Hello, Ein Mokom Nesar B'Tiltil K'shenifratz M'lo L'Mokom Ach. The only time we say that if one spot, one area, we'll call it X, spills into another area, Y, it becomes also B'Tiltil, that's only if it spills into an area which would generate an Isa Tiltil. This Karpaf spills B'Meloa, it's completely Nifratz B'Meloa, into a Chatzer. And we hold, like Rav Shimon, that we discussed yesterday, that Rav Shimon holds you're allowed to carry from a Karpaf into a Chatzer. Again, we're talking about a Karpaf that's Muta B'Tiltil, that doesn't have the dimensions of more than a Beis HaSayim. So if this Karpaf is less than a Beis HaSayim, Rabbi Shimon holds that you're allowed to carry from a Chatzer into a Karpaf. So to say that the Chatzer now generates an Isur Karpaf, because now the Karpaf is extended and it goes beyond a Beis HaSayim, that doesn't make any sense. Because you're carrying from a Mokum Heter to a Mokum Heter, meaning one place that you're allowed to carry from place to place. So for X and Y are two locations, and you're allowed to carry from X to Y, then even in a Nifratz B'Meloa situation, we're not going to say that X becomes Asur because it's Nifratz B'Meloa to Y when you're allowed to carry from X to Y. And again, the objection of Rav Yosef to Rav Zera is predicated on the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Amalei Abai turns to Rav Yosef and he says, okay, very nice. You're predicating your objection to Rav Zera on the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Keman ki Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, Rav Shimon Nami, maybe we could say that although we paskin and we accept the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and in that sense, Abai tips his hat off to Rav Yosef. However, even according to Rabbi Shimon, there's a logical reason why we should generate an Isur Tiltil in the Karpaf when it's Nifratz L'Chatzer. And why is that? Ha'ika avir makom mechitzos. In other words, this Karpaf now gains a new expanded airspace. And that's the avir of the mechitzos. In other words, the airspace of the Chatzer, since it's continuous from the Karpaf is Mamish continues straight into the Chatzer, it's all one entity, and now the airspace of the Karpaf is more than a Beis HaSayim. So that we're not going to say that because you're not allowed to carry from the Chatzer to the Karpaf, and that would depend upon Rav Shimon allows that. No, that's not what we're talking about here, says Abai. We're talking about the issue of what are the dimensions of this Karpaf. And if the Karpaf is Paritz B'Meloa, without any separation whatsoever to the Mechitzos of the Chatzer, so now the Mechitzos of the Karpaf and the Mechitzos of the Chatzer all become one entity, and they surround an area that happens to be more than a Beis HaSayim. And therefore, I understand Rav Zera. And now Abai is going to bring a proof that even Rav Shimon would say that there's an Isur and a Karpaf if it's Nifratz L'Chatzer, because now we're going to measure the area that's surrounded by the Kosel, and that area, in the case of the Chatzer, is added to the area that's surrounded by the Kosel of the Karpaf to make it up into a more than Beis HaSayim. The Omer Rav Chisda, Karpaf, Shenifratz, B'Meloa L'Chatzer, Chatzer Muteres, V'Karpaf Asur. Now, half of what Rav Chisda says we understand, and the other half we don't understand. The Gemara is going to explain the other half. The half that we do understand is why the Karpaf is Asur. Says Abai, the reason why the Karpaf is Asur, because since the Karpaf was Nifratz B'Meloa, completely open into the Chatzer, we now add the airspace of the Chatzer to the airspace of the Karpaf, and we have more than Beis HaSayim. Why is the Chatzer Mutar? Chatzer my time of Muteres. Is the answer is the Islay Gipufe. And again, here the diagram is very, very helpful. What happens is, you could imagine that the Karpaf has walls. And of course, the chatzer had walls. Now, there was nifritza. The walls of the chatzer, the wall of the chatzer that separates the chatzer from the karpav. So if you're leaving your house, that's the wall that you see straight ahead as you open the door. That was broken. And what you're left with is gipufe. Gipufe are the remnants, the vestiges of the original chatzer. So on the left and on the right, on both sides, even though nifritza, the middle part of the, and the bulk of the kosel of the chatzer was broken, was breached, but nevertheless he still has the remaining sides on two. So there's left of the mechitza. And that means that the chatzer still has mechitzos. The reason why those mechitzos are not going to help for the karpaf is because if you're standing in the karpaf, you don't see these gipufe. Why? Because the two ksalim on the right and the left of the karpaf will take you straight into the pirtza of the chatzer. And that depends upon a sugi that we once learned. When you have gipufe, you have vestiges of mechitzos on two sides that can only be seen from one perspective, from one location, and not from the other. So from the location of the karpaf, you don't see the gipufe. Because what you see is the end of the karpaf goes straight into the chatzer. And now we have a combination of the avera chatzer with the avera karpaf, and we're left with more than a beisos sayin. So the Gemara says that now we understand very well why Rav Chisda, just one second, did I get the names right? So that again, Rav Chisda is being quoted here in order to establish that the karpaf is us, whereas the chatzer is mutter because of the gipufe. So the Gemara wants to know, why did Rav Chisda have to be so negative about it, so to speak, and come up with a chumrah? And he describes a scenario in which the karpaf is us and the chatz is mutter. Ha is zimnin mishkachas leibcha. You can imagine the scenario just in the opposite. Now, what would be the opposite scenario? This would be a case where the karpaf, of course, the karpaf is wider than the chatzer in front of the bayis. And now what happens is that the walls of the karpaf on the right and the left continue towards the chatzer, and then the fourth wall of the karpaf is the same wall of the chatzer. Now, when the breach happened and the kosel of the chatzer fell down, which is also the kosel of the karpaf, it fell down in front of the chatzer, meaning when you walk out of the chatzer, you will see absolutely no remnants, no gipufe of the original mechitza. And on the contrary, with regard to the karpaf, we have vestiges, gipufe, of the original mechitza on the right side and the left side. And here, by switching it around, the karpaf should be mutter, and the chatzah should be osur. And that's what he says, Zimnin de Mishkachas le Ipcha. You can find the scenario in which the din is just the opposite. The chatzer is asur betiltul, and the karpaf. Why? Because the karpaf is greater than the chatzer, and nifritza chatzer mimloa. As far as the chatzer's perspective is concerned, there's nothing left, no vestige and shirayim left to the original kosel. But from the karpaf's perspective, you still have a kosel that cuts in the gipufe on the right and the left, and that karpaf is not more than two beisa. Ella, says the Gemara, we're gonna have to interpret Rav Chisda that he holds like Rabbi Shimon, and a karpaf and a chatzah are not osur zebizeh. You're allowed to carry from a karpaf into a chatzah, vice versa. The ena karpaf achotze nesorim mishum shem prutzim zeloze. Oh, so then why is the karpaf osur and the chotzer mutter? Now we go back to the original scenario of Rav Chisda, and that is mishum damrinon ze aver mechitzos miyasro vze ein aver mechitzos miyasro. With regard to the karpaf, we're going to say the karpaf extends its size based on the aver of the mechitzos. Why? because from the Karpas perspective, it's completely parutz b'meloah. You know, you have the kos on the right, kos on the left, you don't see the gipufe. And therefore, the karpaf expands and swallows the area of the mechitzos. And now we have a karpaf that's greater than a beis asayin. However, in the reverse, if you want to know about the avra mechitzos, the avra mechitzos are not going to be extended into the karpaf because we have the gipufe on both sides. And that sets up a valid mechitza vis-a-vis the chatzir. So the chatzir is mutter, and the karpaf is asur. And this leads us to the case of Ahu Bustana. So let's see if we can fit in Ahu Bustana. That'll give us a little extra time for tomorrow's shiur, because Ahu Bustana will end on Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. So what is a Bustana? A Bustana is an orchard of trees, and it's greater than a Beis Asayim. And the mechitzos were not set up l'shem dira, but havisamech l'guda da panda. You have this gigantic house, a beautiful palace, and the front facade of the palace serves as a fourth mechitza for the bustana. So the bustana has three mechitzos on three sides, and the fourth mechitza is the facade, the outer facade, of this great afanda. Afanda in Hebrew is a palace or a traklin. Nafal ashisa baraisa de afanda. And the front wall of this beautiful traklin fell apart. And you no longer have that fourth mechitza. Now, what's important for us to understand is that as long as that fourth mechitza was standing, then it serves as a fourth mechitza to the pardes, to this bustana, and it now becomes a makom dira, because what happens is that you leave the front entranceway of this palace, you enter into this beautiful orchard, and you enjoy the benefit of that orchard. But now, what happened was, the facade in the front fell. And now we no longer have a mechitza l'shem dira. So are you allowed to carry in the paradise? Savar Rabbibi l'meimar, and boy, he's going to get it over the head for this, but Rabbibi thought, l'smoch aguda gavyasa, right? The palace has two walls as it faces the paradise. One is the back wall and one is the front wall. If you remove the front wall, then you still have a mechitza because the back wall is still standing. And that's going to serve as a mechitza for the pardes. And that was certainly set up l'shem dira. And therefore we have a mechitza that was set up l'shem dira that should be matir tiltul in the bustana. Amalei Rav Papi. Rav Papi comes down very hard on Rav Bibi. He says, Mishum di asu mimuloi, you come from a family that is not a mature family. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi quotes a parsha in Shmuel that has to do with Eli HaKohen and his sons, the Bnei Eli, Chofni and Pinchas. Anyway, that mishpacha got a curse that people would die young. And Rav Bibi came from that offspring, from the Bnei Eli. So therefore, Amrisu Mili Malyosa, you also said something that's immature. How could you rely on the Mechitza Pnimis? He says, Hanach Mechitzos Legavoy Avdina, Lebroi Lo Avdina. The outer Mechitza, as long as it stood, would function and serve the Bustana. You would go out of this Mechitza into the Bustana. But the inner Mechitza, on the other side of the house, which is left standing after the outer one falls, that was created for the purpose of the traklin, to serve as an area that he can live inside his beautiful palace. And that mechitza could no longer be, it cannot possibly be valid as a mechitza l'shem dira to be matir the bustana, because that mechitza was not set up in order to serve and function for the bustana. And now we're up to Hahi Abrav Abarivre Noka. Ab Var Noka. So this Ab Var Noka is none other than a little bit of a house that's in the middle of a beautiful orchard, and it has walls. It's a small hut. Perhaps it's covered by foliage. And people would go out of the house and they would use this little hut. They would put their clothes there. They would put different utensils there. The Havile L'Resh Galusa Bibustinaya. So the Resh Galusa, the Rosh Hagola, had this Pardes, which is called the Bustinaya, and in the Pardes, which was larger than Beis HaSayim, and it was Lad Hukaf L'Dira, you weren't allowed to be metaltil there, but he had this Ab Ravkana. And he wanted on Shabbos to be able to take his Kalim from his house into this hut. Omerle, so he turns to Rav Hunabra Chininon. He says to him, Liavid Mar Takanta, can you figure out a way that would allow me to be metaltal on Shabbos from my house into this hut, and I could set up a picnic over there, and even though it's a karpav, Dilamacher Nechel Nama Hasan, will eat our bread over there inside this hut. Azal, so Rav Huna went, in Ovid Kana Kana Pachos Mishlosha, he actually set up a kind of a walkway, so to speak, that going out of the house of the Resh Galusa, you would be surrounded on the right and the left by various poles. And these poles were vertical poles that were less than three tefachim, one from the other. And that's called a gutter mizeh and a gutter mizeh. And as a result of the fact that there's less than three tefachim, it's completely closed. And the shvil, this pathway, was not more than a beis asayim. And therefore, that would be matir tiltul. Azal Rava, here on Chavav and Aleph, Rava came along and he says, Shalfinu, let's take away these kanim that were set up by Rav Huna. Why? Because the Paradis itself doesn't need these kanim, but rather, since in the Paradis he set up this barnakra in order to use it for purposes of eating bread, it becomes a base dira. And now the Pardes itself is almost like an entranceway into the Abar Nekha, and therefore you're allowed to carry without a tikkun. Also, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Brei, Rav Yeshua, Naktinu, Mibaraise. They started collecting those poles that were removed by Rava, so that Rav Huna Bar Chinino would not go ahead and restructure it. So this was all going on behind Rav Huna's back. So tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we'll start here on the second line on Daf Chavav Amud Aleph, and we'll figure out the end of this whole story. Everyone should have a wonderful day.